all over the world. Not to mention the havoc they were causing in the cities where drone demonstrations had been planned as public relations events. It was an unthinkable situation. How was it even possible? Who could have done it? There were reports from the field about strange organic protrusions on some of the rogue drones, but Newt didn't know how that could be possible. It was just nuts. People under battlefield stress saw funny things, that was all. Just like with that rogue Jaeger, the one the PPDC was calling Obsidian Fury. Couldn't be that fast, right? That much faster than all the other Jaegers? Unless someone really different had created it. He was having thoughts like that pretty often the more stressed he got. And to keep his thoughts from going in directions he didn't want them to go, Newt had been talking to himself a lot lately. Anyway, it made him feel better, and he wasn't self-conscious about it, even though he knew some people thought talking to yourself meant you were crazy. But that was their problem. So at the moment, he was rushing down the hall and talking a blue streak to himself as he went, convincing himself that everything would be all right once he got the situation figured out and knew what action to take. "Okay, okay, you got this. It's cool. You cool? Yeah, I'm cool. I'm super cool." A lab tech, King Sheng, called to Newt as he passed by. "Dr. Geisler, Xiao's looking for you." I know, I'm heading up." Newt almost started running, but he thought if he did, he might panic. The old unstable feeling in his mind was back, and it was all he could do to keep himself under control. Those were his drones. He had designed their systems. He had overseen their manufacturing. He had helped write the training protocols for the remote drift cradles. How had he missed someone sabotaging the whole thing by... As he came around a corner, he almost ran smack into Hermann Gottlieb, who grabbed Newt by the arm and pulled him aside. "Hermann, how'd you get in here?" He thought Kang had the building locked down to all outsiders.
"I do have PPDC credentials," Gottlieb said, a little huffy at the perceived slight despite the panicked circumstances.
"And besides, everyone here seems a bit preoccupied with the killer drones your boss just set off."
"It's not her fault," Newt said instinctively.
But how did he know that? Why did he feel so certain about it? A plausible alternative occurred to him, and he ran with it.
"The kaiju worshippers. Maybe they found a way to hack..."
"This has nothing to do with kaiju worshippers," Gottlieb was almost shouting. When he saw he had Newt's attention, he glanced around them. Seeing no one else nearby, he went on in a lower voice.
"We found evidence linking Obsidian Fury to Xiao Industries."
Newt couldn't believe it. Xiao, mounting a terrorist attack on the PPDC, right when she was about to need the organization to approve her drone program. That was a little too on the nose as a false flag conspiracy theory, wasn't it? Although maybe that made it perfect, Newt thought. Nobody would believe how pat it was, so it would be easier to get away with it. Design a rogue Jaeger, threaten other Jaegers, demonstrate how they need some help, blow up part of the council building to make sure your point gets across. Was Xiao capable of that? Newt really found that hard to believe. There had to be some soulless corporate tycoons who weren't also mass murderers. Didn't there? And how would she have designed and built a rogue Jaeger without Newt knowing about it? He'd been working with all the drone program pilots. He saw all of the quarterly manufacturing reports, especially from the fully automated plants that now made up nearly 40% of Xiao Industries' production capacity. Wouldn't he have noticed the diversion of enough resources to make a Jaeger? Not if the company was also concurrently making 100 drones. Even so, it was a lot to take in all at once. Maybe it was Xiao, but he had a little voice in his head telling him there was probably more to it than met the eye.
"This Xiao Industries?"
he asked, just to be sure. China was a big place. Maybe there was another company doing business under the same name. Maybe Hermann hadn't done all of his research yet.
"No, the Xiao Industries that makes Knickerbocker glories," Gottlieb said.
Newt was thrown off by the joke. Hermann rarely made them, and also confused because he had no idea what a Knickerbocker glory was. Gottlieb kept going before he could ask.
"Yes, this one. I came to see if you would help corroborate from the inside, but now that Lian has shown her hand with these drones..."
No, Newt thought. Xiao had spent years building up the drone army, her career, her reputation, her company. All of it was wrapped up in this project. It defied logic that she would do it all just to sabotage it. And Newt still couldn't believe Xiao had anything to do with the rogue Jaeger. Whatever evidence the PPDC thought they had, there must be another explanation. Why would she build drones to go bananas and attack? It doesn't make any sense. And what the hell's a Knickerbocker glory?
She used you,
Gottlieb hissed as they hustled down the corridor toward a bank of elevators. Gottlieb moved fast even with his cane. That all by itself told Newt how pressing he thought the situation was.
Lured you with money and a fancy title, and while you were basking in the glow, she took your research and twisted it.
Newt chewed his lip, a nervous habit he'd acquired in the last year or so. You really believe that?
It's not your fault. She's been playing all of us. Helped me stop her, Newton. Helped me save the world like old times.
Well, you were technically helping me last time, Newt pointed out. Gottlieb rolled his eyes.
Fine. Help me help you save the world. What do you say?
Newt wanted to say yes. It was obvious he should say yes if what Gottlieb said was true. But he couldn't quite make himself do it. He felt almost like something inside him was preventing his mouth from forming the words. His mind spun, trying to get around this internal block to see what it was.
I say.
He looked up at a movement behind Gottlieb.
Don't shoot!
Newt raised his hands and stepped back as Chief Kang and a group of his officers rushed toward them down the hall, guns drawn. Gottlieb was looking at him, the thought plain on his face.
Now do you believe me?
I guess I do, Newt thought. But it's too late. Amara rushed into the Jaeger Bay along with Shatterdome techs and field crew who had survived the drone's initial attack. The rest of the cadets were inside, looking around impotently for something they could do to help. They saw Amara and clustered around her.
What's happening?
Jinhai asked. More explosions boomed from the tarmac. The drones had worked their way through the landing strips and were now concentrating on the hydraulic lifts and the huge collections of material staged out on the tarmac. The few jump hawks and V-dragons that had gotten away made attack runs, but their light weaponry couldn't do much against the drone's armor. The braver pilots swung close enough to try to get a shot at the drones' heads or the power core set deep inside their torsos, but so far none of them had managed to score a damaging hit, and many of them had died in the attempt. Ryuichi could see outside.
Are those Jaegers?
Drones from Shao Industries,
Amara said. They hustled along the deck, keeping to the side so they were out of the way of Jaegers coming out of their storage docks.
What are they doing?
Dehima looked out onto the tarmac. Like Ryuichi, he seemed utterly unable to process what he was seeing.
I don't know, Amara said. They just went crazy.
She couldn't get the carnage out of her head. Amara had seen people die before. You couldn't go long in the Santa Monica slums without seeing death. But on this scale, and so violent. Jake and Lambert jogged past in full drive suits, weaving around some of the debris from Valor Omega on their way to Gypsy Avenger.
Clear the deck,
Lambert ordered the cadets. At the same time, Jake shouted,
Get to your quarters!
The drone Jaegers loomed in the Jaeger Bay doors. They weren't inside the bay, but they were close enough to see the deploying Jaegers. Plasma missiles screamed over Amara's head as Titan Redeemer stepped out of her dock. The missile volley blew the dock and gantry apart, also taking out the catwalks on that part of the bay's upper levels. At first, Amara thought that was all the damage they had done, but as Titan Redeemer leaned into her second step, Amara realized that some of the swirling smoke was coming from her leg. One of the missiles had hit the knee joint, crippling it. As the Jaeger put her immense weight on that leg, the joint gave out. Before Titan Redeemer could compensate, she overbalanced and began to fall.
Go, go!
Lambert shouted. He and Jake shoved the cadets away, seeing the Titan was falling straight in their direction. But Lambert couldn't both push them and get himself out of the way. As Titan loomed closer halfway through her long fall, Lambert set his feet. Amara saw he wasn't going to get clear in time. There was no way. But none of them had seen Jules running at full speed from under a nearby catwalk. She barreled into Lambert and tackled him out from under Titan Redeemer just as the toppled Jaeger slammed into the bay floor. A moment later, the Morningstar hand smashed down, embedding itself into the steel plate of the Jaeger bay dock. The shock of the impact knocked the cadets off balance, and Jules landed on top of Lambert in an accidental embrace.
Hey,
she said after a beat.
Hey,
he said back. Jake was incredulous.
Seriously? Now?
Lambert disentangled himself, still feeling the electricity between him and Jules. He held the look as long as he could, but their comms lit up with warnings. The drones were taking out unprepared Jaegers all over the world. It was time to fight back. 24. Jaeger Watch, thoughts on kaiju. Everybody's got theories about these kaiju rumors, and they're all wrong. Know how I know? Because by definition, you can't know anything about aliens unless you happen to believe they think and feel as we do. The thing you have to remember about the kaiju, and I know this sounds stupid, but it's simple. They're aliens. That means you don't know how they think, what they want, what they feel, or what makes them sad, or even if they can be sad, or if they can see the color blue, or what philosophy they might have about the relative abundance of elements in the universe. They're alien. Alien. Then we have to consider the precursors, whatever they are. They live in another dimension or a distant planet, and it's so different there that the particles that came back clinging to Raleigh Beckett's drive suit don't even have names. They're PPDC scientists who will spend the rest of their careers just figuring out what they are. So don't tell me, this goes for both the kaiju zealots and K-science, don't tell me you know what the kaiju want, because you don't, because you can't, because you're human. Unless you aren't, and that would be a whole other problem. Newt and Gottlieb stood together in the elevator, boxed in by Kang's officers. Kang himself stood close to Newt. The elevator was headed down, presumably to the street level, where Newt and Gottlieb would be handed over to the police on some charge Shao would trump up to make them look responsible for the drones going haywire. Newt could see it all now. What a story Shao would tell, a tragic tale of two scientists who had once saved the world, but were corrupted and driven insane by the fact that they drifted together with a kaiju brain. Shao would pledge to make amends, putting the entire weight of her company behind the effort to counter the drones and rebuilding in the wake of their destruction. And as a result, Newt and Gottlieb would rot in jail forever while Shao's schemes went on. They had to do something. Newt had an idea. He caught Gottlieb's eye and then looked down at Gottlieb's cane. Herman didn't understand what Newt was suggesting. Newt tried again, adding a little dip of the chin this time to make sure Gottlieb knew he was indicating the cane. Then all he could do was hope Harriman put the rest of it together. It was time for desperate measures. He saw understanding dawn in Harriman's eyes and also fear, but then determination. Harriman coughed loudly, bending over with a simulated spasm, and then came up violently swinging his cane. It smashed across the face of the nearest security officer, breaking his nose with a splatter of blood. Newt was already moving too, grabbing Chief Kang's arm as Kang went for his gun. Airman flailed like a man possessed, his cane doing serious damage in the confined space of the elevator. Newt wrestled with Kang for possession of the gun. In the fight, the gun went off, the bullets punching holes in the floor but missing all the combatants. Kang had combat training, but Newt had the primitive advantages of surprise and desperation. He wrenched the gun out of Kang's hand and hit him in the face with a butt. Kang staggered and Newt hit him again. This time, Kang went down. Newt looked up and saw that while he had been subduing Kang, Herman had taken care of the other officers. Amazing, he thought. Who would have believed prim, brainy Herman Gottlieb capable of that? He stabbed at the elevator's control panel and stopped at the next floor. He and Harriman stepped out, leaving the elevator full of unconscious security guards. Newt dabbed at his lip, split in the scrap. Gottlieb had a bloody nose, but both of them were exhilarated by what they'd done. It was like something out of an action movie, but they'd pulled it off.
Thank you, Newton. I'd hug you if I didn't have a rule about public displays of affection. Oh, to hell with it.
Gottlieb hugged Newt, surprising him. He was also surprised that it didn't bother him. He had a lot of affection for Harriman, and despite the awful circumstances, he was glad that they'd been brought back together.
You're welcome, Harriman, Newt said. Now if you're done groping me, we need to take care of those drones.
They burst back into Newt's lab, where Dayu and the rest of the techs were still trying to get control over the drones. This wasn't going to be possible for them, but Newt had an idea.
Out! He shouted, brandishing Kang's gun. Then he added in Mandarin, Go now, or shoot, shoot!
The lab erupted in pandemonium as the techs ran for the door, past Newt and Gottlieb. Dayu was one of the last to exit. As she passed, she said, I always knew you'd go nuts.
You're fired!
Newt snapped back. Then he and Harriman had the lab to themselves.
What do we do? Harriman asked. How do we stop this?
Back door!
Newt proclaimed. He set the gun down and rushed to a terminal, tapping commands in faster than Gottlieb could follow.
To what? Gottlieb asked. The lab?
A holoscreen appeared above the terminal console, showing the entirety of the Pacific Rim. The location of each drone was a bright red dot. Many of them were grouped together, and those that weren't moved closer to each other, forming other groups.
"To the drone subroutine," Newt said. "I slipped one in just in case I wanted to get in there and poke around down the road."
"Sneaky bastard," Gottlieb said, but in an admiring way.
"I know, right?"
Newt cracked a smile, but then he had to concentrate. The subroutine's initiation command field opened up, and Newt carefully entered the code. He'd written in a failsafe so the subroutine would lock itself down if someone tried to enter the wrong code, and there was no time to wait for the lock to expire. So after he'd typed the command, he reread it several times to make sure it was correct. LV-426. It was right. He punched enter. Gottlieb was watching the screen, expecting the drones to deactivate or return to the remote drift protocol. Instead, a command line message appeared. "Command Lima Victor 426 confirmed. Initiating breach protocol." Gottlieb read the message over twice, eyes widening in horror.
"What did you just do?"
"What I've been planning for the last 10 years, Newt said. "Ending the world." He looked up from the terminal to Gottlieb, who saw something dark and malicious behind Newt's eyes. The enormity of what he was realizing in that moment stopped Gottlieb dead in his tracks. He looked at Newt with horror, Newt's words replaying themselves in his mind. "What I've been planning for the last 10 years. And all at once Gottlieb realized that yes, Obsidian Fury had used Shao Industries parts, but not because Xia Liyan had created it. And yes, the drones had gone rogue, but not because Xia Liyan had done it. Newt had. It was Newt all along. A satellite camera view appeared on the holoscreen, superimposed over the lower corner. On it, a drone emerged from the shallows in Honolulu Harbor, joining a group to form a circle. The torso lenses covering their power cores lit up, and particle beams flared out, intersecting at the center of the circle. Where they met, a brilliant sphere of energy formed, with a thunderclap that rippled the water across the harbor. Below the sphere, the water churned, and something on the seafloor began to glow. Gottlieb understood. They were opening a breach.
"Why?" he moaned. "Why would you do this?"
"He wouldn't," Newt said, his tone mocking and hateful. "Or maybe he would. Maybe he hates all of you, for laughing at him, for treating him like an insignificant little joke of a man." At first, Gottlieb didn't understand why Newt was talking about himself in the third person. But by the time Newt had finished talking, the conclusion was inescapable.
"You."
He saw in Newt's gaze another intelligence, alien and malevolent, and everything fell into place.
"Precursors."
Apparently Newt's demeanor changed. The sick smile fell away, and Gottlieb saw terror in Newt's eyes.
"Help me, Herman," he begged. "They're in my head." "Fight them, Newton."
Gottlieb stepped up and grabbed Newt by the lapels of his coat.
"Fight them!"
Newt spasmed in his grip as the precursor in his mind reasserted control. He backhanded Gottlieb, sending him sprawling back against a lab table.
"He isn't strong enough," Newt snarled. "None of you are!"
The unmistakable metallic double-click of a bullet being chambered cut through the air in the lab. Newt and Gottlieb both spun to see Xia Liyan, holding Chief Kang's gun leveled at Newt's head. Unfazed, Newt chuckled.
"Hey, boss, finally figured it out, huh? What was it, the diagnostic?"
"My numbers weren't aligning with yours," she said, referring back to the drift delays they had argued about only 48 hours before.
"How did you do it, without me knowing?"
38% of your manufacturing capacity is fully automated," Newt said. "Wasn't that difficult to reallocate a little here and there over the years without being detected?" He switched to perfect Mandarin and added, "Especially since you always thought you were the smartest one in the room." Gottlieb saw her make a decision. She might not have understood everything that was going on, but from her perspective, she knew everything she needed to know. One of her employees had betrayed her, outsmarted her, and destroyed everything she had worked her entire life to create. Her eyes narrowed.
"In about half a second, I'm going to be."
"No," Gottlieb thought. "He may be under the sway of the precursors, but Newton is still in there. My friend is still alive. He lunged forward as Shao squeezed the trigger, sweeping his cane upward and knocking her hand up as the gun went off. Nude shoved him from behind, sending him tumbling into Shao. Both of them hit the floor, but she came up aiming the gun at Nude again. Gottlieb grabbed her arm.
Stop! It isn't him! It's the precursors! They must have infected his mind when we drifted with a kaiju brain during the—
Shut up! She snapped as she lowered the gun. Still holding her arm, Gottlieb looked around to see that Newt was gone. Shao shook him off and stepped over to Newt's holo terminal.
And don't ever touch me again!
She stabbed a finger into the intercom control on the terminal and spoke in rapid Mandarin. Gottlieb didn't speak enough of the language to understand everything she said, but he heard Newt's name. And he heard the word for shoot. 25. Five Thoughts from Xiao Lien. Bootstrap.com interview, 22nd March, 2033. 1. Whatever you are doing, you can always do it better. This is not a bad thing. If you were already doing the best you could ever do and you knew it, that would be the time to start doing something else. 2. Also, whatever you're doing, you can always do it worse. The funny thing is that often you start to get worse when you stop believing that you can be better. 3. The last thing you built might be the best thing you will ever build, but you have to build the next thing to find out. 4. Humans can both ask questions and answer them, but sometimes the answer is a machine. It is a terrible mistake to see machines as something apart from humans, because we envision them. We create them. We improve them and make them obsolete and envision new ones. Creating machines is one of the most human things a human can do. 5. If I had not become an engineer and programmer, I would have been... I don't know. I don't feel like I have done my best work yet, so it isn't yet time to think about doing something else. Marshal Kwan knew that he had lost Valor Omega in the first attack, and then Titan Redeemer moments ago. But as he burst into the Locent overlooking the Jaeger Bay, he didn't know the status of Guardian Bravo, Bracer Phoenix, Saber Athena, or Gypsy Avenger, although Gypsy was still undergoing repairs from her battle with Obsidian Fury.
"Sit rep," he called. "Where the hell are my pilots?"
Instead of answering that question, Shang reacted as red circles suddenly blinked into existence all across the Locent holomap of the Pacific Rim.
"Breaches detected!" Shang cried out. "Multiple locations! It's the drones, sir!"
Kwan registered the scale of the problem as he saw the number of breaches. If even one kaiju came through each, there weren't enough Jaegers in the world to stop them.
"All pilots," he said, leaning into the comlink. "Breaches detected."
Down in the shattered dome, Jake heard Kwan's alert.
"Drones in the field are opening multiple breaches across the Pacific Rim."
The communication cut off as plasma missiles shrieked through the Jaeger Bay and obliterated everyone inside the Locent. The entire structure, undermined by the force of the explosions, came crashing down onto the deck as everyone below scrambled for cover. Jake dove behind the prone hulk of Titan Redeemer, with Jules and Lambert right behind him. Explosions rocked the interior of the bay, and burning wreckage scattered across the deck between them and the docks holding the remaining Jaegers. The cadets, staying low, ran to join them in the relative safety behind Titan Redeemer.
"We told you to get to quarters," Jake shouted.
Amara pointed.
"The corridor's blocked."
Lambert was doing a head count. "Where are Tehima and Malin?"
"I don't know."
Amara looked around but didn't see them. Next to her, Renata tried to stay focused, but her question came out sounding panicked.
"What do we do?"
"Stay here," Jake said. "We're going to try to get to Gypsy."
More missiles strafed the bay deck between them and the Jaeger docks. It didn't seem too likely that Jake and Lambert would survive a sprint across to Gypsy Avenger, but they had to try. If there were breaches opening, kaiju would be coming through. The only people on Earth who could stop them were Rangers, and only if they could get to their Jaegers. Jake looked over at Lambert.
"You ready for this?"
"No,"
Nate said right away.
"You?"
"Nope."
They were both crouched, tensing to go.
"On three,"
Jake said.
"One, two."
A voice crackled through the static on the comlink.
"Hello? Anyone there?"
Jake recognized the accent.
"Gottlieb?"
In Newt's lab, Shao worked furiously to hack the subroutine Newt had installed in the drone's operating code. The code security scrambled it into an undifferentiated mass of data blocks, but if there was one programmer on Earth as good as Newton Geisler, that person was Xiao Lien. She would cut through the security sooner or later. The only question was whether she could do it soon enough.
"Jake, thank God!" Ehrman said. I've been trying to raise the Lucent. It's gone. We're under attack. You have to force Leanne to shut down the drones. It isn't her. It was Newt. Precursors infected him, got into his head.
There was a brief pause as the Rangers digested this. Gottlieb understood it was a hard thing to believe, but he hoped they would realize he wouldn't say something so outlandish without proof. When Ranger Lambert came back, his response gave Gottlieb at least some comfort.
Gottlieb, it's Lambert. Can you make him disable the drones?
At least they believed him. But now Harriman had to admit a shameful truth.
No, he got away. It was my fault, I...
On the holoscreen, the scramble of data formed into comprehensible lines of code.
I've penetrated the subroutine, Zhao said, initiating shutdown protocol.
In the shattered dome, the drone Jaegers had destroyed everything they could see from the bay doors. They stomped into the bay, training their weapons on the vehicles, and more importantly, the Jaegers now within range.
Shut them down, Jake yelled. Stand by, Gottlieb answered.
In the background, they heard Zhao say something angry in Mandarin.
It's trying to lock you out, Gottlieb said.
Zhao paused as an idea occurred to her. If she couldn't open the subroutine before the security protocols reformed and shut her out, maybe she had time to rewrite just a few crucial lines of its code.
Feedback loop,
she said in English.
Brilliant!
The data blocks were reforming, but some of the code was still accessible.
If you modify that algorithm...
Zhao's fingers flew over the keyboard, changing critical values. The screen was almost covered again in data blocks. Gottlieb couldn't tell if she had managed to alter the correct lines in time. Jake's voice over the comm was tight with tension.
Gottlieb, shut him down now, or we're all gonna die.
As Jake spoke, he was looking up at a drone. It towered over the fallen Titan Redeemer, locking in on the group huddled on the other side. They were near Titan's partially crushed head. The violent impact with the floor had smashed open the Jaeger's face shield, exposing the still bodies of the Rangers inside. The drone raised one hand and the muzzle of a cannon started to glow.
So this is how we die, Jake thought. We're never even going to get to Gypsy Avenger. I'm never going to get to fight back. If there was an afterlife, Stacker Pentecost was watching the scene and nodding. Jake doesn't have what it takes, he would be thinking. I knew that all along.
The drone jerked and an ear-splitting screech echoed through the shatter dome. Its arms twitched up and its weapon discharged, blasting a hole deeper into the halls behind the collapsed Locent. It staggered, smashing a burning forklift. Kaiju blood spurted out through the seams in its head, burning on the alloy exterior and wreathing its head in smoke. Jake looked across the bay and saw the same thing happening to the other drone. The screeching noise faded as both of the drones overbalanced and crashed down. On the holoscreen in Newt's lab, the satellite view of Honolulu Harbor showed the circle of drones reeling and toppling over as one. Their particle beams flickered and went out. From the churning water inside the circle, a kaiju had begun to emerge from the breach, clawing its way out of the antiverse. When the energy sphere failed, the breach disappeared, slicing the kaiju in half. Its blood boiled in the water, and its death throes sent up waves that surged over the piers of Honolulu's waterfront.
Yes! Gottlieb cheered. Jake, Leanne disabled the drones. The breaches are closed.
He stopped when he saw that the holoscreen now displayed three blinking circles and an ominous message. Kaiju detected.
Oh, no, he said.
What?
Jake called back. Gottlieb didn't answer right away. Jake called his name. Slowly, Gottlieb gave him the news.
Three kaiju have gotten through. South Korea, Russian coast, East China Sea. Two Cat Fours and a Cat Five.
There was silence on the line as Jake registered the enormity of this. Kaiju of that size were often more than a single Jaeger could handle, as they had learned during the war. Three of them made for a threat that would require all the PPDC resources, if there were any left after the drone assaults.
Copy that, Jake said. Get back to the dome. We're gonna need all the help we can get.
26. Top news. Pacific Rim shudders under drone Jaeger attacks. Terrorist feared to hack drone Jaegers. Disaster for Zhao Industries. Drone Jaegers attack shatter domes, civilians, thousands feared dead. Will Zhao Industries survive the drone attacks? Analysis. What did Zhao Lien really know? Drone Jaeger attacks raise questions about Obsidian Fury. Who are the Kaiju cultists and why are they attacking now? 12 reasons why the Kaiju cultists have nothing to do with Obsidian Fury. BBDC on verge of collapse after attacks on Council, Shatterdomes. In dark corners of the internet, dark rumors. Did Shao Industries use Kaiju parts in the rogue drone Jaegers? Kaiju cult claims Kaiju have returned. God sends his messengers again. A look inside the black market trade in Kaiju parts. Shao Lian destroys own drone force, but not before drones cripple PPDC Jaeger Corps. Did Shao Lian stage the drone attacks? A defense of Shao Lian. Markets plunge in aftermath of drone attack. Tech stocks hit hardest. A few of the JTech medics were veterans of the Kaiju War and had hard-won experience with mass casualty events. Many of the younger medics had lived through Kaiju attacks as children, but this was different. Then all they had thought about was surviving and later mourning. Now they had to tend to dozens, maybe hundreds of casualties, triaging and rendering aid in the middle of the devastation in the Shatterdome. The older generation tried to keep them focused and on task, as all of them grappled internally with memories of a time they had thought was past. Everyone was pitching in, trying to evacuate the wounded and get people out from under fallen debris. Jake and Lambert strained against a concrete slab, pinning Tahima, as Amara and other cadets tried to work him free from underneath it.
"Medic!"
Jules called, waving one over. Tahima was alive, but seriously injured. Jinhai tried to joke with him to keep him together, and hide Jinhai's own concern.
"Always lying around," he said.
Tahima tried to smile. Nearby, another team of medics was working on Mei Lin, who had also suffered wounds from the fallen debris after the destruction of the Losant. Lambert saw Jules and called for a status report. With the Losant out of commission, he'd asked her to get a sense of what the Shatterdome's operational situation was.
"What do you got?"
"Reports are still coming in, but drones took out Jaegers and Shatterdomes across the rim," she said.
"How many Jaegers do we have here?"
"Operational? Gypsy Avenger. Barely."
"That's it?
Have to get more up and running or it's going to be a short fight. Even if we can, all our other pilots are dead, or..."
Lambert cut her off before she could demoralize all of them. "One disaster at a time. Let's focus on those Jaegers."
"Think you can help with the repairs?" Jake asked Amara.
"Me? Thought I was kicked out." Jake could have pointed out that she no longer had a ride off the Shatterdome because the drones had destroyed every helicopter and jump hawk on the tarmac. But right now they needed all the positivity they could get, so he took another approach.
"I'm kicking you back in. Nobody has more experience turning junk into Jaegers."
He glanced over at Lambert. "You good with that?"
"Outstanding," Lambert said with a grin.
They were going to need all the help they could get. Amara was touched by their belief in her. Could she live up to it? She looked around the Jaeger Bay, realizing that she was about to take a big step. Building Scrapper was one thing. Getting Bracer Phoenix and Saber Athena ready to go was another. But she could do it. She knew she could.
"We got incoming,"
Jinhai said, looking out through the bay doors to the tarmac. Jake and Lambert, along with a crowd of curious techs, rushed to the doors. None of the Kaiju should have been close already. Was it more drones? If so, the lights were going to go out at the Moyolin Shatterdome real soon. Once Jake got a look at the fleet of aircraft cruising toward the Shatterdome, he breathed a huge sigh of relief. They were V-Dragons, but not from the PPDC. Shao Industries had its own private fleet, each with the distinctive Shao logo stenciled on its fuselage. Jake strode out to meet the V-Dragon that was landing closest to the bay doors. As it touched down and powered its engines off, Airman Gottlieb popped out, and right behind him, Shao Lian.
"I brought some help," Gottlieb said.
From other V-Dragons, a small army of Shao techs and engineers headed toward the Shatterdome, bearing tools and pushing cartloads of equipment.
"All right," Jake thought. "Maybe we can pull this off after all."
Gottlieb and Shao set up a temporary war room in a former lab space near the site of the destroyed Losant. With Jake and Lambert, they gathered around a hollow screen, tracking the path of the three Kaiju that had managed to get through the breaches before Shao's quick thinking and quick fingers had destroyed the drone army. The idea that Newt Geisler was behind it all, Jake couldn't quite fathom that. He'd always liked Newt, and to think that Newt had secretly engineered Kaiju tissue into Obsidian Fury and the drones, That was a betrayal Jake couldn't wrap his mind around. But facts were facts and had to be faced, just like the fact of the three kaiju.
Hakuja, Strikethorn, and the big fellow Raijin, I took the liberty of assigning the designations, Gottlieb said.
That duty traditionally fell to Losin's staff.
Yeah, great names, Jake said. Sound like real a-holes.
Lambert was frowning at the patterns of the kaiju's motion. Strikethorn and Raijin are moving away from the cities towards the ocean.
Maybe they're trying to link up with Hakuja in the East China Sea, Lian suggested.
This was possible, Jake thought. Kaiju hadn't been known to look for each other like that before. During the war, they had sometimes emerged in pairs, but only once had PPDC forces fought three kaiju. That was the Battle of the Breach, when Stacker Pentecost had blown his own Jaeger's reactor to buy Gypsy Danger the time and space to get into the breach. Now Jake was about to take on three kaiju just like his father had. At least it looked that way, because the three trajectories of the kaiju were loosely converging. They weren't headed directly for each other, though, which made Jake wonder.
Nude would know what they're up to if we could get it out of him, he said.
I have to find him first, Lambert commented.
He escaped in a Xiao V-Dragon, Xiao said. My men are trying to track him, but he disabled the transponder.
Then that's off the table, Jake said. There wasn't any time to worry about things they couldn't control. Nodding at the screen, he asked, Any Jaegers closer to those kaiju than us?
What was left from the Chindo and Sokolinsk domes tried to intercept, Gottlieb said. Emphasis on tried.
Lambert stared harder at the map. There's got to be something there, something in the East China Sea. Jake looked too, sure there was something they were missing. If you looked at all of the trajectories, maybe... That was it, all of the trajectories.
Maybe that's not where they're headed, he said. Pull up a map of kaiju movement from the war.
Surprised, Lambert looked over at Jake.
You know something we don't?
You said you have to understand your enemy's objective to know you've beaten them, Jake responded, needling Lambert a little, but also letting him know that speech had stayed with him. A map displaying kaiju incursions from the war appeared on the screen as Gottlieb brought it over from the PPD strategic record server. Jake started working the screen, drawing lines that extended the kaiju's paths if Jaegers hadn't stopped them.
What if the kaiju weren't blindly attacking our cities during the war? What if we were just in their way?
Jake was no artist, but the more the lines he traced, the clearer it became that they intersected at a single point.
On Fuji, Japan, Lambert said.
Gottlieb started performing the same course extrapolations for Hakuja, Strikethorn, and Raijin. There it was, just as Jake had intuited. Their courses were also set to intersect at Mount Fuji. That left the million-dollar question, given voice by Xiao Lian.
But why?
Hermann Gottlieb gave a quick gasp of understanding.
Rare earth elements, he said slowly. Mount Fuji is a volcano, rich in rare earth elements.
Why are you looking like you're going to pee your pants? Jake asked. If Gottlieb was this scared, Jake felt like he should probably be scared as well, but he wanted to have a good reason.
Because kaiju blood reacts violently with them. It's the basis of my thruster fuel experiments.
That sounds bad, Lambert said. That's bad, right?
Very,
Xiao said. Mount Fuji is active, a geological pressure point. Gottlieb worked the hollow screen, doing rapid math at the screen translated into visuals. A cross-section of Mount Fuji, showing the lava reservoir below it, appeared, with a simulated kaiju crawling into the caldera at the top of the mountain.
Based on the blood-to-mass ratio of the kaiju,
he was running back-of-the-envelope calculations of kaiju blood volatility versus the ratios of different rare earth elements in a volcanic interior. Astonishing stuff to do just off the top of your head, Jake thought. There weren't many people in the world as smart as Hermann Gottlieb. The screen now showed a map of the entire Pacific Rim, with active volcanoes marked. The region was known as the Ring of Fire, because of the intense volcanic activity in the areas where the Pacific tectonic plate ground against its neighbors in Asia and North America. On the screen, volcano after volcano began to erupt. When Gottlieb spoke, his tone was low and somber.
The reaction would cause a cascade event, igniting the Ring of Fire around the Pacific Rim.
The simulation continued, wreathing the globe in a gray blanket.
Billions of tons of toxic gas and ash will spew into the atmosphere, wiping out all life.
Xiao understood.
That would finish terraforming Earth for the precursors.
This doesn't make any sense, Lambert objected. Why not just open up a breach right over Fuji and drop the kaiju in?
Lambert had a sharp tactical mind, and Jake chimed in with another angle on the same problem.
Or send one so big nothing could stop it.
From the data we recovered from Dr. Geisler's files, the precursors can only penetrate dimensional soft spots, as he called them, between universes, Zhao explained. Every location the drones chose corresponded to one of these.
And a Category 5 is theoretically the largest kaiju they could send through, since the energy it takes to widen a breach exponentially quadruples as the...
Yeah, science is our friend, Jake said. This was the downside of being a genius like Gottlieb. You started talking a language normal people couldn't understand.
We get it. We can't let them reach Mount Fuji, Lambert stated flatly. That was their mission objective, the only one that mattered.
I'll check with Jules, see where we are with the Jaeger repairs, Jake said.
Even if you had 100, there's no way to intercept in time, Zhao said, looking at the distances on the map. The drones destroy your jump hawks and my V-Dragons aren't built to carry that kind of load.
There was a long silence. Jaegers could not run kaiju without getting into the air. If they couldn't figure that part of the battle plan out, they would just have to sit here in the war room and enjoy satellite images of the kaiju crawling into Mount Fuji and ending the human race. Then Lambert looked away from the screen to Gottlieb.
What about your thruster pods?
Jake remembered Gottlieb talking about those right when Jake was arriving at Moylan. He'd been puzzled at the time, seeing Newt dismiss the idea and warn Gottlieb away from working with kaiju blood.
After all, coming up with new ideas about how to fight the kaiju, understand them better, was the whole reason for K-Science's existence. Now that they knew the truth about Newt, that conversation took on a more sinister meaning. Had Newt done it on purpose? How much control did he have? It didn't seem possible that Newt could have carried around a precursor in his head for 10 years without either going crazy or letting something slip. Maybe he didn't always know it was there.
Jake figured that if a precursor could use the drift to get into Newt's head across a dimensional barrier, it could probably also hide its existence from him. But that was all speculation. Right now they needed concrete solutions to concrete problems, like the problem of whether they could use Gottlieb's thruster pods to catch the kaiju before they got to Mount Fuji.
They're not ready, Gottlieb said.
Zhao got right to the point.
Can they be?
Gottlieb considered the question.
In theory, maybe, with your help?
What does that mean, in theory? Jake asked. They didn't have time to deal in theories. They needed results immediately, if not sooner. Gottlieb heard the challenge and lifted his chin a little, understanding the task ahead.
Today, it means yes, he said.
27. They had a crew of hundreds, thanks to the reinforcements from Zhao Industries, but not much time. A quick assessment of Valor Omega determined that she would have to be scrapped, and Titan Redeemer was also too badly damaged to take any part in the current fight. It might have been possible to repair her damaged leg, with parts scavenged from Valor Omega's remains, but Titan had also suffered catastrophic damage in the uncontrolled fall. Her guidance systems needed a complete overhaul, and the interior of her con pod had been almost destroyed by missile strikes after she fell. That left 4 Jaegers to be the focus of the tech team's work. Gypsy Avenger needed repairs to her armor plating and con pod housing to get her fully combat ready after her engagement with Obsidian Fury in Siberia. Bracer Phoenix, Sabre Athena, and Guardian Bravo had all suffered damage in the drone attack. They couldn't go into the field at all without at least some repair. And then there was the question of the thruster pods. They had to get the idea from Gottlieb's notes to the Shatterdome tarmac in less than 24 hours, or none of the repairs to the Jaegers would matter anyway. Added to that was the widespread damage to support vehicles and the docking mechanisms. The first thing Zhao's crew did was get 4 of the cradles welded back together so they could hold the Jaegers that needed repair. Then the Jaegers were towed into place and the real work could begin. The Jaeger Bay was controlled chaos, with JTEC and Zhao teams crisscrossing it on repeated trips from parts and electronics warehouse storage to the docking cradles. Outside, Hermann Gottlieb oversaw a caravan of tankers carrying kaiju blood. Large reserves of it were kept in anaerobic storage in tanks deep below the Shatterdome, along with other kaiju tissue and genetic material used in K-Science research. Now Gottlieb followed those tankers out onto the arm of the tarmac, where the jump-hawk gantries stood. He thought the gantries would be strong enough to hold the Jaegers upright and true at the ignition of the thruster pods, if he could get the thruster pods built and integrated into the Jaegers' command system soon enough. Near the gantries, he had set up an outdoor assembly line. Crews of welders and engineers took repurposed fuel tanks and thruster cones adapted from V-Dragon engines. They had to build the rest on the fly. Fuel lines and valves, electronic control systems that could be quickly mated to the Jaeger's operating software, ignition chambers designed around catalyzing ingots of rare earth metals, brackets and housings to attach the thruster pods to the Jaeger's at the correct angle so firing the thrusters wouldn't knock the Jaeger's into an uncontrollable spin. There was also the problem of waste heat from the thrusters, which according to Gottlieb's calculations was a danger to the electronics in the Jaeger's midsections and legs. He ran back and forth from the tarmac to the Jaeger bay, making sure crews were adding heat shielding to the backs of the Jaegers, and also installing thruster shunts below the exhaust nozzles to direct as much of the heat away from the Jaegers as possible. And that meant he had to go back and recalculate the impulse angles to keep the Jaegers from spinning or tumbling. There were, as the saying went, a lot of moving parts. Gottlieb had no doubt that his math was correct, and the kaiju blood would yield enough thrust to get the Jaegers airborne. The rest of the design would just have to go into the field untested. Inside the bay, medical teams had removed most of the wounded and were working on recovering the dead. The base infirmary was more than 200% over capacity, and wounded filled the barracks closest to the infirmary level. The dead, numbering in the hundreds, were zipped into body bags and held in the base morgue, which was also filled far beyond its design capacity. The traumatic aftershocks of the event would set in soon, but at that moment every member of the Shattered Dome's crew was working toward one overriding goal, stopping the three kaiju from reaching the top of Mount Fuji. Triage of the damage to the four Jaegers they needed to achieve that goal yielded a long list of necessary repairs. Bracer Phoenix had suffered some of the worst damage. Her right arm was completely burned out, and they had no way to repair it in time. Jules had puzzled over this problem until she had an idea that she took to Lambert and Jake. She found them elbowed deep in Gypsy Avengers' con pod, retuning the maglev field generators. "Bracer Phoenix is down an arm. No time to get her combat ready," she said. "Bracer's railgun doesn't need her arm, right?" Lambert asked. "It's not ideal, but that team might just have to go out with one arm." "Or..." Jules looked out over the dock floor. Crews had moved parts of Titan Redeemer out of the way toward the collapsed rubble of the Locent. The torso was still in place, but the limbs and head were already pushed aside, except for Titan Redeemer's left arm, which hung in a cable sling between the two mobile cranes. "Titan Redeemer's not going to be using that one anymore." Both Jake and Lambert looked down at the detached arm. Then they looked at each other, and then back at Jules. "That's Titan Redeemer's left arm," Jake pointed out. "Yeah," Jules nodded, "but we don't have to use the whole thing. Most of the damage to Bracer is elbow down. We can take the Morningstar hand emplacement, flip it over, and mate it to Bracer's right arm. From there, we can run new conduits to the main combat integration system that feeds the HUD and the con pod, and the crew shouldn't notice any difference." "I like it," Jake said.
"I do too," Lambert said. "Except Bracer's crew won't have trained with it. Will they know what to do? It's going to change the balance of how Bracer moves. That thing is heavy."
"Better than nothing, right?"
Jules waited for one of them to contradict her. When they didn't, she said,
"All right, I'm going to get to it."
Amara and Jinhai paused in their work at the side of Bracer Phoenix's head to watch as the twin cranes carrying the Morningstar hand lifted it into position. They were 100 feet above it all, but the scale of the Jaeger parts made it all seem closer. Until you realized how tiny the people looked, swarming around the monumental limb. Jules' crew had disassembled most of Titan Redeemer's arm, leaving only the Morningstar hand and the internal spool holding the cable. From the spool housing, cables as thick as a human thigh dangled, waiting to be spliced into Bracer Phoenix's guidance systems. While Jules had been working on Titan Redeemer's arm, a crew from Shao Industries had pulled off Bracer Phoenix's arm below the elbow and stripped away the external plating up to Bracer's shoulder. They had the new cable junctions ready. Other crews were standing by with the interlocking plates of Bracer's armor, waiting to refit it over the Morningstar hand assembly. Bracer rocked in the holding cradle as the crew banged the assembly into place against her elbow. Amara and Jinhai got back to work. One of the drone missiles had hit the Jaeger square in the side of the head.
Bracer's cranial armor had mostly held together, but the blast wave had destroyed the complicated gyroscopic mechanism that served Jaegers the way the inner ear served a human being. Without it, the Jaeger wouldn't be able to keep its balance. Heading back in through Bracer's conpod hatch, they worked their way past Vic, who was tack welding brackets back into place after she had repaired the damaged electronics servicing the gyroscope. Amar and Jinhai got their hands under the gyroscope. They locked eyes.
One,
Jinhai said. Two and three were silent, but they lifted at exactly the same time, grunting and staggering with the gyroscope over to its housing. They got the edge of it resting on the flanged edge of the housing, but it started to overbalance as Jinhai shifted to get a grip on the side and ease it in. Before it could tumble out, Vic rushed over and braced it. The three of them, working together, got it in place. They exchanged exhausted fist bumps, and Vic got back to her welding. Jinhai fired up a compressor powering an impact wrench to bolt the gyroscope into place, and Amar went back out onto the catwalk. Suresh and Ilya were there, waiting for her to tell them what to do with a cart full of parts she'd sent them to get from a locker below the docking cradles. "Next thing we need is that shock absorber," she said, tapping her hand on a 6-foot-long hydraulic absorber. It was one of eight that spoke down from the gyroscope housing, keeping the Jaeger's balance modulator from being bounced around too much in combat or deployment. Suresh and Ilya maneuvered it past her and in through Bracer Phoenix's conpod hatch. Amara went down the catwalk toward Saber Athena in the next bay to see how things were going there. She was exhausted from work and lack of sleep, but she was also riding a wave unlike she had ever felt before. Jake had put her in charge of what he called scrapperizing some of the repairs. The way he explained it, that meant Amara had to figure out how to rig up on-the-fly solutions for repairs that they didn't have time to do according to the procedures in the Jaeger's technical spec. Amara had almost refused, since she was the new kid at Moylan and didn't want to be put in the position of making the other cadets treat her like the teacher's pet. Jake had cut her refusal off.
"Look," he had said, "you've built a Jaeger. They haven't. So we need what you know, and there's no time to worry about how anyone feels about it. If they're giving you trouble, save it for later."
After they rode Gottlieb's experimental thrusters over hundreds of miles of ocean into combat against three powerful kaiju, with all of their Jaegers held together essentially by duct tape and baling wire. The more Amara thought about it, the more she realized Jake was right not to worry about how anyone would feel about it tomorrow, because the odds of there being a tomorrow didn't look all that good. But if they were going to go down, they were going to go down fighting. Renata and Ryuichi hung in repelling harnesses from the catwalk, ringing Saber Athena's berth. They were welding a plate closed on Saber's chest, covering a crack left by a plasma missile. Saber was in decent shape overall. Her weapon systems were housed on her back, so the missiles hadn't affected any of them directly. But her front side had taken a lot of impact damage. A small army of JTEC and Shao personnel hung in other harnesses, welding repair plates into place. It wasn't going to be pretty, but Amara thought they had figured out a way to get the repairs done without compromising Saber Athena's superior speed and agility. At least she hoped they had. And she hoped they hadn't missed anything when they did the repair analyses on Gypsy Avenger or Guardian Bravo. Of all the Jaegers, Guardian Bravo seemed to be in the best shape. That was why Suresh and Ilya were free to help with the repairs to Bracer Phoenix. They'd already worked through all the diagnostics they could run on Guardian Bravo. The arc whip was good, hull integrity was good, conpod stability checked out okay. The only repairs Guardian Bravo needed were basically cosmetic and could wait for another time. So while crews swarmed over the other three Jaegers, Guardian Bravo was moving slowly on a tracked platform out to the launch gantries on the far end of the tarmac. They had a path cleared, largely by bulldozing destroyed scramblers and jump hawks out of the way. Then outside crews had covered the missile craters in the tarmac with armor plates taken from Valor Omega and Titan Redeemer. It was ugly, but it worked well enough to get Guardian Bravo into place on a gantry. The crew waiting there locked her into place and cranes lifted the twin thruster pods up. Once they were swung into place near Guardian Bravo's back, the whole gantry lit up with a flare of welding torches and rang with the sound of impact wrenches. Gottlieb watched the final maneuvers, clutching a data pad and a sheaf of papers with his original notes on the potential energy of kaiju blood. He had hit a snag in the process because he couldn't get the fuel equation to balance. If they'd had the time to design a second component to add to the fuel mixture and create a hypergolic combination that would self-ignite, everything would have worked brilliantly. But as it was, they had to use the raw kaiju blood, and its properties were not fully understood.
at least not where potential energy was concerned. All the simulations he had run with raw kaiju blood and a single ignition component came out slightly wrong. They either led to insufficient thermal energy release or caused a runaway reaction that could not be controlled in the combustion chamber. In short, despite Gottlieb's best efforts so far, the Jaegers either wouldn't get off the ground or would explode at liftoff. He was starting to panic under the pressure. Xiao Lian was also working on the fuel equation, and Gottlieb decided to run back inside and see how her work was going. If they couldn't crack the problem together, there was no way on Earth to stop the kaiju from entering Mount Fuji, except for multiple nuclear strikes. 28. Kaiju converge on Japan. International News Agency staff reports. Three kaiju have survived the eruption of numerous breaches around the Pacific Rim and appear to be converging on Japan, according to information released by the Pan-Pacific Defense Corps. The three kaiju, first seen along the east coast of the Asian mainland, appear to be taking different routes that will intersect at some point in Japan, though the PPDC cautioned that their future movements could not be projected with any certainty. A source within the PPDC requesting anonymity because they were not authorized to speak about the details of the breach's appearance and collapse said an unknown number of other kaiju died while crossing breaches that closed suddenly when the drone Jaegers were simultaneously deactivated. The PPDC and Xiao Industries have declined to address questions about this event, but it is known that at least 9 other dead kaiju are present in the shallow waters near various Pacific population centers. PPDC facilities near those areas are offering help with environmental remediation as they prepare to remove the partial kaiju carcasses. With rumors flying that the rogue Jaeger Obsidian Fury and the hacked drones were all using kaiju biotechnology, control over the samples of the creature's tissue becomes even more important for future security. Xiao was calling his name, and Herrmann snapped back to the present. He had wandered back into the shattered dome, and now he looked up to see Xiao coming toward him, falling into step so he could see her new calculations as they walked on. "See?" she said. "The raw fuel will undergo a chain reaction in the presence of any pure lanthanides, but there is possibly a way to use smaller amounts of the raw fuel in a primary combustion chamber and then inject the full supply into a secondary combustion chamber where the..."
"Yes," Airman said. "Yes, we must get to the lab and run these simulations immediately."
Reaching out to a nearby Xiao Industries technician, he started to explain what he needed. Xiao took over, instructing the tech in careful Mandarin exactly what modifications the gantry crews needed to make the thruster pods. She sent him on his way and joined Herrmann for the short walk to his lab, where they would find out if it had any chance of working. Her idea was sound. To stop the kaiju blood from undergoing a chain reaction and consuming the entire supply at once, in other words, from going off like a bomb, they had to use extremely small amounts of the catalyzing lanthanide to ignite small amounts of the kaiju blood. But then they had to feed that ignited kaiju blood into a second combustion chamber, where it would mix with an unburnt supply fed in through a second line. If they modulated that mixture correctly, they would have an amount of thermal release sufficient to fly a Jaeger, but not overload the engines. Outside on the launch pad, the gantry crews were already installing the second feeder lines and adding the secondary combustion chamber. They had to refit the exhaust nozzles and rewrite the operating software as well, and they could not complete that second task until Gottlieb and Lian could provide a stable fuel mix equation. They were close, but still not there. Lian was moving numbers around on a holo display while Gottlieb worked the same numbers on the screen at his main terminal. At this point, it was a process of elimination. There was a value that would succeed. They just had to run the sequence over and over again until they found it. Part of that process could be automated, but part of it had to come from the intuition of scientists working in the lab. "Gottlieb," Xiao said. He looked over and saw she had found a solution. He rushed over to the terminal next to hers, checking her numbers and running them again several times to make sure there was no error. The equation checked out. They had a primary combustion ratio. Herrmann felt a spike of sorrow as he realized he could not share this discovery with Newt. It was the kind of work they had done together once, and now Herrmann was forced to do it again because Newt had fallen under the sway of the precursors. Where was he now? What was he doing? Was he able to watch the kaiju make their slow progress toward mainland Japan and ultimately the slumbering caldera of Mount Fuji? Herrmann hoped there was a way to cure Newt if PPDC forces did not kill him when he was found.
A sane Newton Geisler would appreciate what he and Shao had done. He was one of the few people on Earth who could, which of course was what made him such a dangerous adversary as a tool of the precursors. But if he could be cured...
Gottlieb, Shao said, do you confirm my result?
He nodded.
I do. Superb.